Hello, Mr. Murphy.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Murphy. It's Aaron calling you from MMA League. How are you?
Hello, Aaron. Yeah, not too bad, mate. I finally got through to you.
Sorry. I was just on another call, so I do apologise for missing yours.
Yeah, it's all right, buddy. What is it I can help you with, Aaron?
So, what this phone call is going to entail is a little bit of a 15-minute chat with myself. I'm just going to gather as much evidence as I can, obviously, besides the statement that you've already given, with evidence within yourself of, obviously, your time, you know, the time in care, how it's affected you, and any effect it's still having on you. So I'll just ask you a series of questions with yourself, just so I can represent you the best way that I can. Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem, Adam. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah,
not a problem, sir. Okay, so just so I've got a good understanding, do you currently suffer with any mental health issues at the minute?
I do. I'm on medication. I'm on the seat. I'm not able to work or anything like that, Adam, because of my mental health.
Okay, and what kind of mental health issues are you suffering from, sir?
It's a good time in this because I'm actually going through a historical crime, sexual abuse condition, which happened when I was a child, and I've done two police television interviews over the last week to give evidence, you know, for that situation, like, you know. So I'm doing that just now. The mental health problems I suffer, flashbacks, I'm registered schizophrenic, but, you know, only a mild schizophrenia, but I'm on the borderline, you know, schizophrenia because of the situations that have happened to me in the past. And I'm on several medications for it as well.
Okay, so it's PTSD, schizophrenia. What else was mentioned there? Sorry, sir.
My tablets. I take tablets for me to control my mind. You know, because I suffer. You know, when you've been abused when you're a kid, mate, it lives with you all your life. You know what I mean, Aaron? I'm sure you understand that.
Yeah, I can imagine so, sir. And I do apologise for obviously the abuse that you have entailed.
It's not your fault, buddy, but it's nice that you can find somebody that understands these things, you know, today, in today's world.
Of course, it
was all ignored in the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
It was all totally ignored, but I'm glad I found somebody that believes in me and believes that what I'm telling them is the truth, you know, Aaron, and I just want to push on with it and, you know, and see if we can get some form of justice that will satisfy me.
Of course, sir. Yeah, well, that's what our job here as a law firm, you know, we're here to not judge or discriminate, but we're here to listen and help, you know, all of our clients who have unfortunately gone through this kind of era of, you know, very, very, you know, unentitled abuse and trauma. So it's obviously not the nicest, but obviously we're here to fight for you, really. You know, my job now is I'm going to be working for you, sir, to build the biggest and best case that I can to put forward to the Scottish Government for the abuse and trauma that they've put you through.
Fantastic, Aaron.
Would you say that you suffer from depression as well, sir?
I've suffered from depression. I was taking... From being the age of 13, I was taking I was taking sleeping tablets at age of 13, Aaron.
Wow.
Because of things that happened in my life, you know.
Yeah, obviously just trying to sleep, get some sleep from it, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Okay, and would you say there's any forms of anxiety around things as well?
I've suffered panic attacks, I've suffered suicidal thoughts. I've suffered emotional, not being able to talk to people because I'm crying inside all the time.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. I've not been able to hold a conversation. But I'm learning now. I know what's wrong and what's right now. I ended up in prison through all these things as well. It put my life in a direction that I never knew of or never heard of when I was a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I ended up in a pro school, ended up in a bar school, ended up in jail, you know.
Yeah.
All these things just because of how my young childhood were treated, you know.
Yeah, of course. Well, just to jump back on you saying you've been suicidal, Mr. Murphy, can I just dive a little bit deeper into that and just get you to talk to me about how you came to that situation and what you've done to potentially try and take your own life, sir?
Sorry, I do apologise, mate. Will you say that again, mate?
That's okay, sir. Yeah, so you just briefly mentioned, you've been suicidal. Could you just dive a little bit deeper with myself and just explain to me how, you know, what brought you to that situation and what attempt you may have made to take your own life, sir?
Yeah, because I've been sexually abused when I was a child, from 3 years old and 5 years old, and then my brother sexually abused me when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And that's why the suicidal thoughts enter your head, because you feel ashamed, you know, yourself. You feel ashamed for what they did to you. You know what I mean, mate? It don't sound right, but that's how you feel. You feel disgusted and ashamed for what them people have did to you, you know?
Of course, yeah.
But I do anyway. I can't speak for anybody else. I do anyway.
Yeah, no, I understand completely the feeling behind that. Obviously, it's kind of like having, you know, out of experience, out of body experiences in some
absolutely,
cases, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, that's right, yeah. That's right, what you just said, yeah.
Yeah. So when you've been suicidal, say what was it that you may have done?
I cut my arm, and tried to slash my wrists. But that was on one occasion in 1995, that. And I took tablets when I was 13 years old and I had to get my stomach pumped in hospital. So that should be on record. If you keep records that long, I don't know, but that's what I did when I was younger. I've been at train stations and trains coming, and you have these thoughts going through your head and you jump in front of the train, you know,
yeah.
And things like that happen, you know. Walking in the middle of the reason I'm on mental health tablets is because I told my doctor, my psychiatrist, that I felt like walking in front of the bus. I was playing chicken run with buses, you know, like if a bus were coming.
Yeah.
I was running up the road to see if I could beat the bus, before the bus hit me and things like that. I was doing silly things, you know, when I was younger than that. And I've had a lot of suicidal thoughts. I've had a couple of attempts, but I'm glad I've survived them, you know. I'm glad I've survived them, Adam.
Yeah. Well, I just want to reiterate to you, sir, that it is a pleasure to be speaking to you today, and you know that you wasn't successful in doing so in the past. You know, it's a pleasure to be speaking to you today, sir. So thank you for having the bravery to still be here and fight through your emotions, and now obviously wanting that justice. You know, it sounds like you've, you know, got that light of confidence in you.
That's fantastic, mate, to hear that, because I never, you know, when you're growing up with that sort of stuff in your mind.
Yeah.
The first thing is, Aaron, it's very hard to tell anybody these kind of things, yeah?
Oh, yeah, certainly. No, you feel like nobody's listening or nobody even wants to hear it.
Exactly, and then the second thing is you doubt that people would believe you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's very nice, and it's a pleasure talking to you as well, may I add. It's
very kind
of you, and it's very nice that there is people like you nowadays to help people like myself.
Of course, Mr. Murphy.
In life, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful for your words that you've mentioned there, of course. And me personally, taking myself away from this job for a second, it's a pleasure for me to walk out of my front door and go to work and help people like yourself. And make them feel heard, make them feel listened, and want to help them, and you know, get this kind of justice that the Scottish Government has put vulnerable children and teens in, you know, in.
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay, sir. So,
I've just had, I'm married now. We're a lovely wife, and I've got my own home and things, you know. So, I'm doing things for myself to to stop all these thoughts. And I don't get gaps when I'm all right and I'm perfectly feel fine, you know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when night turns into day and that again, then you get up in the morning, you're all right for half an hour, and then all of a sudden some thoughts come back into your head, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And you've just got to suppress them during the day until you go to bed at night time again. And sometimes it's too difficult. You've got to, I mean, I've turned to alcohol. I used to take drugs, Aaron. Because of it, trying anything to get rid of these thoughts out of my mind, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm ashamed of that, Aaron, because I come from a lovely family, apart from my brother, like. I come from a nice, hard-working family, you know.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand it, what's going on when I was younger. But as far as the police thing with in the kids' home and that, Aaron, if you want to talk about that, I lost all confidence in the police force because the guy that nearly broke my arms and wrist in a parole school, St John Bosco's in Scotland.
Yeah.
Just for the simple fact that I wouldn't make my bed because I was upset about something, you know. Just for the simple fact I wouldn't make my bed. He got me on the floor and he twisted my arms up my back and nearly snapped both my wrists in his, and I found out he was an ex-police officer working in the children's home.
Wow, so sad to hear that.
Oh, yeah, mate. So, yeah, it was bad at the time, Aaron. I've never forgot it. And yeah. I'll be quite honest with you. I know his name. I know where he lives. And I was going to go and get that guy and deal with myself. But I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I didn't have him.
And all because sometimes, unfortunately, and even in this day and age, taking matters into your own hands can have further consequences than what you may have thought or want. You know what I mean? Because obviously, sometimes the justice system doesn't give it justice, and you want to get justice for yourself. But you going along this down this line now plays a massive part in karma in getting back at these people.
It does, but. You know, when you've been involved with the system, Alan, on the other side of the fence, let's say, you don't believe in things like this. I think it's unbelievable that I'm talking to you now because I lost all faith in the system when that policeman done that to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say, yeah.
You know, I mean, if I've done something out of line and it's me that's done it, then I'll put my hands up and I'll say I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
For people to bully young kids at that age, physically and mentally, It was atrocious, mate. It was atrocious. And they've already had this guy in, you know, and interviewed him, but they let him go. They let him go free of charge. Not enough evidence, they said.
Okay, I'll have you re-mentioned his name again in your recent investigation? Is it a separate investigation?
Which one? The one with the police officer?
Yeah, the police officer that attacked you when you
That's this situation that you're dealing with, redress, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the other situation, the sexual abuse that I sustained when I was younger, I've just done two police interviews in Wakefield, West Yorkshire. One yesterday, that was about my brother.
Yeah.
And then one a week ago, a fortnight ago, that were about two other males that sexually abused me when I was a child.
Well, sir.
So that's separate, Aaron. I know it's hard to believe, isn't it, mate, but it's true. That's separate from the incident of being in the pro school. But the reason I ended up in a pro school was because when I lived in Scotland for a short while, my brother sexually abused me. And I kept running away from home all the time. So my dad put me in a home, you know, a kid's home.
Yeah.
And then I didn't agree with that but I just couldn't tell him what had happened, because I didn't want to split my mum and dad up and things like that, Aaron. So when he put me in the kid's home, I started running off from there as well. And I was living up the mountains in Scotland and that, you know.
Yeah.
Lighting little campfires and stuff like that and things like that, mate, you know, surviving.
Yeah.
And then I ended up back in there, and then it went from there to a pro school, St Mary's at Bishop Bridge, and then St John Bosco's, and then I ended up from there going into Borstal in prison detention centre, And it's just gone on and on and on, Alan, you know, because I won't behave myself properly because of what happened to me when I was a child.
Yeah. No. I can see here, sir, and I am very grateful for my other team on getting the statement from yourself. Mm-hmm. I can see that this member of staff's name was Cam Young.
Cam Young, I'll never forget his name. Cam Young, that's his name, mate, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that, yeah. And just to clarify, it's not Cam, it's a Cham.
No, it's T-A-M, because I'm Scottish T-A-M, as well, and I've got the same name. I've got the same name, ironically. My name's Thomas. So in Scotland, Alan, I'll just explain to you. The name Thomas is four different names, so it can be Thomas, Tom, Cam, or Tommy, right?
Yeah.
So if you were living in Scotland and your name's Thomas, everybody would call you Cam, as in Cam O'Shanter, you know, like Cam O'Shanter.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody would call you Cam. So that's what your name is. But if your name's Thomas, it's Cam is short for Thomas.
Yeah. Okay, I get that, man.
Right.
Okay, sir. So I can clarify for myself as well, and you know, get the best understanding. Do you have any other suicidal thoughts nowadays, or has that been put behind you?
No, I still have them. I just don't carry them out, Aaron. But they're not as bad as they were, because I've started to see the light in seeing that this is not all my fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I used to blame myself in the past. So the suicidal tendencies are disappearing slowly but surely. You know?
Yeah.
Now, I know about it. I've just said I've got it all in the UK.
Okay, so just obviously, so you are aware, I am making note of that, but I have said, you won't act upon it now.
Yeah,
I can see that, because as part of this phone call, I know it's me gathering evidence on yourself, but I always have to make sure that our clients have a safe environment and you know, aren't going to be at risk to themselves as well. So as well as gathering evidence and kind of like risk assessing you as well. But obviously, I'm proud to hear from yourself, you know, Thomas, that you know you can see that light in life now, which is good. You know, I am proud to hear them words from yourself. It's really good.
Yeah, thank you a lot, Alan. Thank you very much, mate.
That's not a problem, sir. Yeah. So are just to.
Sorry, yeah, go on, bud.
No, go on. You can go, sir.
All I was going to ask you was, are you from Liverpool, like, you're Scouser, like?
I certainly am, yeah. From Liverpool, born and bred.
Yeah, I've got family in Wirral, like, you know.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah, I've got family in Wirral.
Where about in the Wirral?
I'm not... Oh, is it Edgehill?
Edgehill is in Liverpool.
Oh, right, my mum and dad used to live there years ago before I was born, but I've got family in the Wirral. I don't know exactly where in the Wirral, but they definitely have been here all their lives. Right.
Yeah.
And they've got an unusual name, Alan, they call them Jollis.
Well, Jollis. Where does Jollis come from then?
Wirral. They come from Wirral.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Alan, Kevin and Danny Jollis. That's the names, and that's where they're from. They've lived there all their lives.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because are you based in Yorkshire now, are you?
Right, so I was born in Glasgow in 1968, Alan, yeah?
Yeah.
And then I moved down to Yorkshire when I was 1 year old. And then we moved back up to Yorkshire when I was 8 year old, and then moved back down again when I was 16.
Yeah,
I've been here ever since, but I did have a gap between 2001 and 2010 where I lived in Falkirk in Scotland. And now I'm back down in Yorkshire. I've got married and I live in Wakefield, West Yorkshire.
Funny enough, Thomas, obviously, would you say your parents or was it grandparents that are from Edgehill?
No, my mum and dad lived in Edgehill. My mum used to work at Taverner's Sweets Factory.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I think it was because my nan used to live in Edgehill, And I think she remember telling me about that Sweet Factory actually.
Yeah, Taverners. Sweet Factory. Yeah, my mum worked there, Alan. It's a small world, isn't it?
It's a very small world, yeah. Because now my outer family, they live in Yorkshire.
You're joking.
No, they live in Knaresborough and Scarborough.
Oh, Knaresborough, Scarborough, nice part of the world, North Yorkshire. Well, I've got a niche that lives in Catterick.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Army Barracks, like, up there. My niece lives up there. She's been up there for about 27 years, like, you know.
Yeah, so it is a very small world indeed,
yeah. It is, Alan, yeah. It is, yeah. Brilliant.
All right, so with St. John Bosco, sorry, just going to your care setting, sorry, Thomas. With
yeah,
John...
you're all right, mate. You're all right. Take your time. I've got all day, Alan, mate.
Yeah, but with St. John Bosco, obviously, I can see that that was in fight.
Yeah,
so obviously we'd be writing to, well, requesting your records from Fife Council. Was there any other care settings that you was in?
Oh, yes, St. Mary's at Bishop Briggs. I was in there.
Okay, bear with me 1 second and I'll just get the details of that. St. Mary's...
Yeah. St. Mary's, Bishop Briggs, Glasgow.
Because I'll need to grab all your care settings information. So we can obviously write to each independent council if there is multiple, obviously to get all your care records together, you see.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that's quite detailed, that's perfect. Okay, so we've got... So was you in... St. Mary's after St. John Bosco, St. John's, was it?
No, I was in St. Mary's before St. John Bosco's, and then before St. Mary's, I was in a place called Carved Ross Assessment Centre.
Could you spell that one for me, please?
Yes, it's C-A-R, as in car, Aaron.
Yes.
D-R-O-S-S.
Carved Ross. Yep.
Assessment Centre. And that's in Dumbartonshire.
Yes, I'm just going to get the details of that one now.
Yeah, that place has been knocked down. It's a golf course now. It don't exist anymore, that one. But that's the one it all started in there. That's the one I first went to when my dad, when I run away, my dad put me in a home.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it was closed in around 1996.
Right, buddy, yeah. It's a golf course now, that.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got that. So how long would you think you was in Cardross for?
Probably about 3 or 4 months, something like that, Adam. But I kept running off, so they put me in St. Mary's, like a more secure unit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then how long was it in St. Mary's for?
I was probably in St. Mary's probably the same, about 3 or 4 months. And then they put me into St. John Bosco's at Bishop Briggs. Because the more you run off, they put you further away from where you live, you know what I mean, sort of thing.
Yeah, so you can't get back.
So you can't get back home as quick.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just going to get the St. John Bosco's care setting and then... St. John Bosco's life.
I'll tell you what started all this, Aaron. I were willing to, I don't know why I were willing to take all this to my grave with me, but I'm glad I haven't.
Yeah.
I were willing to take all this to my grave with me because it was so embarrassing to tell my mum and dad or anybody like that about this abuse when I was a child. But I'm absolutely glad I've survived it and I'm moving on and things like that.
Yeah,
these people need to be sought out and dealt with, don't they?
Yeah, no, massively.
They need to be sought out and dealt with, Aaron, because I've been through a hell of a life up until now, 57-year-old even. Some things have still been ongoing, you know, with my brother and his wife and all this. And then, and my family, you know, And I just need to get it out there, Adam, and get it off my chest, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And try and get a bit of quality of life before anything happens, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what we're here to fight for you for, sir. And we'll do everything we can with the fine tooth comb to make sure that we do that for you.
I'm very grateful.
I'm very grateful to have you on board with us as well, sir. Don't ever forget that one, please.
Thank you, Aaron. I won't. My wife's sitting here and she knows it's genuine people, you know.
Yeah, no, good. She obviously knows genuine people if she's met someone like yourself, sir.
No, that's nice. Thank you. There you go.
So just to clarify, Mr. Murphy, just obviously with the St. John Bosco case, I think, how long was your day for?
I think it was St. John Bosco's, maybe a bit longer, maybe about, I don't know, 8 to 12 months, something like that. I'm not sure. It's a long time ago, isn't it, you know?
Of course. All we kind of need from you, Mr. Murphy, is just rough estimates, that's all. Just so obviously when we go and get the records for yourself, obviously we kind of know the time span of getting these records and just kind of matching the timelines together. So it's just a kind of more of like an approximate time you were there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And anything you need from me, just call me and let me know. What I was telling you there about, I was going to take the thing to be grey with me. What happened was, Aaron, I was in prison. I was in an open prison in Doncaster in 2019, right? And they got a letter from Police Scotland asking me if I'd ever been in St. John Bosco's and if I'd ever been sexually abused or physically abused. And they sent a policeman to come and see me from Doncaster, and he showed me two photographs. And I picked the photograph of that Tam Young, you know, the police officer.
Yeah.
And then what happened was they phoned me from Scotland, Police Scotland. They took this Tam Young in, Aaron. I mean, you'll do the maths. He's a policeman. They took him in. They let him go, mate. You know what I mean? They said he denied it. There's not enough evidence because I called them back and asked them, you know. They let the guy go. But to me, I think it's just because it was a police officer. They let him go.
It's absolutely baffling, isn't it? Obviously, if you've been pulled out of prison and been able to identify an officer of abuse and harm, it just goes to show how you know wrong
the
police doing was back then.
And this is why nobody's got any faith in the police system, Aaron. You know what I mean? This is why people are getting murdered and raped and fucking. You know, sorry for swearing, mate. This is why people are getting murdered and raped and. There's no faith in the police system at all, and that's a letdown by the police.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, massively, yeah.
Because some people won't go to the police, Aaron.
No.
And these are the reasons why, because some police officers will not prosecute another police officer, especially if they're their friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's quite disturbing, that, mate, to think these things, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're here as a whole to definitely fight for this case for you, and myself personally being designated as your case handler, I'm more than happy to build the biggest and best case that I can to put forward for the rightly so, you know, compensation that you do deserve.
I really appreciate it, Adam, because I'll tell you now, mate, I never knew there were people that cared like yourselves the way you do.
I just
thought everybody in the system were all the same, but you're not. You know,
yeah, no, of course.
I'm really 100% grateful. I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm terrible for that, mate. But it's just because my mind's been all over the place for all most of my life. When I say something to Aaron, I think I've got to get it out before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, sometimes I have a panic attack.
Yeah, no, of course, and this is what we're here for. We're here, you know, the more that you tell me, the more evidence I can build up. You know what I mean? So, by the way, sir, I won't. I'll sit back. I won't interrupt you. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. You know what I'm saying, Adam. When I'm saying something, I've got to finish that sentence, me, because if I don't, it makes me feel panicky.
Of course. It's letting it all out, isn't it?
Part of my condition, buddy, you know what I mean? It's just part of what's been happening on the past.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, so when, Thomas, when I do requests for these records back from your social care settings, I do need to, I do need to just grab your DP a second as well. But when I do request for these records, would you like me to share these records with yourself?
Yes, please. Yeah, you can do. You can give me a copy, and I'll give you my GP's phone number and that, and where my medical records are and that. No problem, Alan. No problem at all.
Yeah, come on, sir. What's the name of your GP, please?
Right, it's the Grange Medical Centre.
Grange.
Is it Steve Phillips? Steve Phillips, I forgot his second name. The doctor's called Steve, but I forgot his second name, Alan. I think it's Phillips, Steve Phillips.
Okay, is this in Wrighton? No. Whereabouts Grange Medical Centre?
It's a place called Hemsworth in Pontefract.
Okay, Grange.
H-E-M-W-O-R-T-H-S-T-H, Hemsworth. And that's in Pontefract, Alan. West Yorkshire. And I don't give you permission to obtain the medical records for your line of inquiries, you know.
Perfect, yeah, thank you very much. No, yeah, I've got that here, Highfield Road, Hemsworth.
That's it, yeah.
No worries, perfect. I've also got their contact number as well.
Right.
How long have you been registered at this GP for, sir?
Oh, years, Steve. I've been here years. Apart from being in prison, when I go in and out of prison, like, but I'm still registered here. I've been here for years.
So would you say most of your life?
Yes.
Okay, that's absolutely fine.
Well, it was Kingsley Medical Centre at first, but they moved to Andrew, but it's still all the same GPs and that, Alan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you type in first, Kingsley Medical Centre, K-I-N-G-S-L-E-Y, Kingsley Medical Centre, and that's in Hampshire as well. All they've done is moved offices from there to there, so, yeah, most of my life, yeah, on and off, yeah. Apart from when I lived in Scotland.
Yeah, okay, it looks like you meant that one. Okay, yeah, no, I can see that one. But saying that this one's on Wakefield Road, Kinsley.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So they were all there, and then they moved to the Hems of Grange, the medical centre. Yes. Are you a solicitor, Alan?
No, I'm a claims advisor. So we have our team of specialists who they'll be presenting the case to the Scottish Government, but it's my job to gather everything for them to just go, okay, read it over, see if they need anything additional, and then they present it, but I'm the one who gathers as much intel as I can. Yeah.
Right, Alan, yeah, that's fine, that's fine.
Okay, so obviously you want the record shared with yourself, that's absolutely fine. Okay, so just to let you know, Mr. Murphy, obviously this journey will be a rough roundabout of 6 to 12 month journey.
I know, I'm going through it anyway, Adam, with these other two cases as well.
Yeah, so unfortunately,
I'll try to keep strong, and I'll try and answer every question possible.
You definitely will keep strong, Mr. Murphy, because if any of them moments that you don't feel like you're strong, you can always ring me, okay?
You can always
give me a call, and also just obviously reassure you as well, we do have a mental health practitioner in our team. So for whatever reason, if you don't want to ring 111, if you don't want to speak with someone and go through, all the stuff that you just told me, my colleague here, all she has to do, it's just state your name, she can see my notes, and she'll know exactly where you're up to. And even if you just want to tell her how you're feeling, we're only a phone call away for that.
That's very soothing. That's very comforting, Alan. Thanks ever so much for that one as well.
No, you're more than welcome, sir.
That's
good. All right. So, yeah, so as I said, it is going to be a bit of a 12-month journey. It is going to be myself that is obviously your designated claim handler. So I'll be keeping in touch with you every 4 to 5 weeks with an update, whether that's by phone or email. And as I said, yeah, I'll be getting an official apology from the Scottish Government, no problem. But yeah, we will be fighting for some financial compensation for yourself as well.
Thank you very much, mate. I really appreciate that. And hopefully I can get a bit of good times in the future out, Alan, rather than all that garbage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, we'll be working towards that.
Yeah, can I just mention to you, Alan, I'm not lying to you, mate, if I have to drop dead here right now on this spot, that policeman had done that to my arms and wrists. He really, really hurt me.
Really hurt me.
I was 13-year-old, mate, and that man, what evil, he really, really nearly broke my wrists, I swear to God.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that, sir. I am sorry that you have to go through that at a young age. He's a horrible man, and sometimes I might be stepping out of line saying that about the police officer. He sounds like a very, very horrible man who
he's a very horrible man. And I'll tell you now, Aaron, I'm glad that I've got in touch with yourself, because not now so much where I've got married, but just before I got married, I was on a journey. I was going to hunt that guy down, me.
Yeah. I don't blame you on that, sir. I really don't.
I'm really glad. But I'm just to let him feel what pain feels like when I was a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, but I'm not going to do anything silly like that, Aaron, and I'm not going to jeopardise my own liberty anymore.
Yeah.
I've kept out of trouble for 6 years. I'm with my wife. I've got a lovely little house, and we're all right. And I've got 3 separate journeys to go on. One with yourself, and I'm really grateful for how you've been speaking to me today. And there's another 2 not-so-good journeys, Aaron. I've got to, like I said, stay strong. I've got to focus, and I've got to get these people the justice, my justice, get these the punishment that they deserve, Aaron, you know.
Yeah, rightly so, sir. Rightly so. And yeah, we're here on the journey with you, no problem.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Really
not a problem, sir. You don't have to thank me. It's just my job, sir. It's what I'm here to do for you.
It's nice to be nice, buddy. Of
course.
Apart from all this, I was brought up properly. You know, I had good parents, Aaron. You know?
Yeah.
And they brought me up to the best they can. We all struggled back then, you know. And they've done a good job apart from the inevitable. You know what I mean, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, so, no.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thanks ever so much.
No, you're very welcome, sir. You are very welcome indeed. Just 2 more things to go through, Thomas, just before I do let you go to enjoy a nice Friday afternoon. A very quick one is obviously when speaking with my team a week or so ago, they have given you a 2-week cooling off period. And what that means is within this 2-week time frame, you at any point, you can lift up your contract with us and you can go elsewhere and do this case yourself, other than the law firm.
No, I don't want to do that. I think it was Gemma the first last I spoke to.
That's correct, sir. Yeah, it was. It was Gemma.
Because, sorry for jumping down your throat, I was unsure whether to trust, you know what I mean, Aaron?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of trust issues all my life, but I explained that to Gemma. I said, Gemma, can you give me something in writing that you make me know that you're who you say you are and things like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You know, because she asked me to send my signature, my passport, mate, and like, you know, people do that these days, don't they? But I know you're genuine, Aaron. I know now. So I apologise about that for being suspicious about yourself, you know what I mean?
No, sir, you don't have to apologise about that. I said that is fully understandable, even from my end, to know that obviously the trust issues, I completely do understand, you know, obviously from what you've been through and how you've been handled as a young person. I can totally understand that. If you'd like us to take off this cooling off period, say, which is due to expire in 4 days, we can get started on your case.
Go ahead, Alan. You handle it the way you have to handle it, buddy. I'm just, you know, and if you need any other information from me, please don't hesitate to call, you know.
No, I won't, Thomas. No, that's perfect. So that cooling off period's been removed. What I need to do is just go through one more thing. Now, this has been mentioned by Gemma, and I just do need to repeat yourself for my compliance team. All it is just me going through your options that you do have with the funding behind your application. Once this is done, obviously, if you are happy to still go ahead with ourselves, then obviously, yeah, just state that in the phone call. Once I've finished with your little 2 minute spiel, you are good to go, okay, sir?
Yeah, no, what is happening? Yeah,
perfect. So yeah, Thomas, yeah, the funding options for yourself out there, obviously you do have three options when it comes to doing a Scottish redress application. Option one is that you can apply to do this application yourself without the solicitor or a law firm, and that's you gathering your own evidence and presenting your own case.
Yeah.
Option two is you can instruct another solicitor or a law firm to who participates in the government legal fee scheme, where they get funded £2,000 by the Scottish Government to present your case to the Scottish Redress. What I can't do is, for legal reasons, is tell you how or what they do with your case. But what I can tell you as option three is, under a private and independent law firm like ourselves, we work on a no-win, no-lose fee. That's it. So basically, yes, we don't come and chase you for any fees if, for whatever reason, this case wasn't to go in our favour. Our fees, which you have signed in the agreement, is 16%.
Yeah, that's it.
16% plus VAT, which is 19.2%. And that's capped. That is capped, so it doesn't matter what kind of compensation you do receive, so we'll never come chasing for any more fees. We just obviously want to be funded for what evidence and case we've been put forward to yourself.
Yeah.
So are you still happy to continue with MMA Legal?
Of course I am, buddy, yeah. So if I get a tenner, you'll get £2.
That's it. That's all we'll need, sir.
Yeah, that's it. It's nice to have a bit of a laugh with somebody, mate. You're a genuine guy, and I appreciate it, mate.
I appreciate your kind words, Thomas. Thank you very much for that.
No problem. Yeah, I'm happy to go ahead. I'll let you do your job. You're the professional people. But just bear in mind, I really do appreciate it, you know.
Thank you very much, Thomas. And, obviously, that's everything that I've needed to go through today. Before I do let you go, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, is there any questions?
Yeah, so just one thing, Richie. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting again. I'm at school. Just before you go, rather than that, sending me an email, because I'm not very good with technology, and that's another effect I've had on me. I'm not very good at stuff like that. Could you make every 5 week conversation a phone call, please?
So you'd like a phone call every couple of weeks, would you?
No, not every couple of weeks. When you're ready, you know, like you said, about keep you updated about every 5 weeks or something like that, a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could do that by phone now, and I'd feel better, because I'm not good with technology, you know what I mean?
I'll be doing that.
I had to catch rabbits for my dinner when I was younger, Alan.
Nowadays, the younger people, they just go onto an app and they just apply for pick what food you want when it comes to the door.
Yeah, they get the rabbits delivered. I had to go and catch mine.
That's it, they get the rabbits delivered.
You're a lovely fella, mate. Thanks ever so much for bombing me out, Alan. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, Mr. Navy. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you enjoy your Friday afternoon.
Okay, my friend. All right, no problem. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you very much, sir. You enjoy the rest of your day.
And you, mate.
Thank you, sir. Bye now. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.